God's Little Brown Church Sermon Series featuring Pastor Andrew Chrysler.
So we do record our messages. On the back of the bulletin is the information on the church's website and also the church's Facebook page where we put the messages up. We heard this week, found out this week, that there have been, as of earlier this week, there had been 5,228 downloads of our messages. We interact with about 80 people a week. So people who either have come through the door and then gone on someplace else, maybe come up for vacation, or people who have never even been here. Listen to this. Praise God. The night before I became the pastor of this church, so December 31st of 2005, I became the pastor January 1st of 06. The night before, I had a dream. And in my dream, this little section, I'm standing here, standing right down there, talking to a couple of people. And there more people keep filing in. And later I realized that this was one alcove into the church. There was another one just like it on the other side. And behind me was a great big auditorium. And really scared me. You know, but I had the understanding that God was going to, let me back way up. And this wasn't planned in the message, but we'll get there. In 1972, I said way up. In 1972, me and my younger brother and my even younger cousin were in South Bay, Florida, at the bottom of Lake Okeechobee, and we're up in a sugarcane field putting hand lines in the irrigation ditches to catch some softshell turtles. Now, up here in northern Vermont, softshell turtles are like this. Down in the south, softshell turtles are eaten size, and that was going to be dinner. I was going to be feeding the whole big family. But we were gone down to put in turtle lines, and I was going down to check a line, and I had two gaff hooks. Those who don't know what a gaff hook is, it's a great big sharp hook on a stick. One is on about an 18-inch handle with a rope around my wrist. The other one was about a 4-foot stick, and I'm beating through the tall grass to get down to check the lines. And I come down like this, and I bring up my hand, and I've got a 4-foot cottonmouth moccasin hanging from my hand. And I'm freaking out, flailing around. The string, the rope from the handle, took the snake off my hand. I knew I'd been bit. I knew I was going to die because we were so far back, there was no way help was going to get to me in time. I sent my brother and my cousin to go get help because I did not want them to watch me die. And I'm standing there in that sugarcane field on this dirt road. I've got a ditch here. I've got where we were catching the turtles. I've got probably 7-foot tall sugarcane behind me. And as I'm standing there, the color went out of everything so that there were just outlines. And then the outlines faded and there was just light. And I heard a voice say, "I have called you to preach my word." And everything faded back in. By the time help got to me, I was fine. God healed me and called me to preach when I was 12. I grew up in a church where anything other than an initial confession of faith was, "I have an unspoken prayer request." Teenage boys have a lot of those. By the time I was 17, I knew my life was not pleasing God and I could not pretend the way I was living to be a Christian, and I left the church. And for 16 years did not darken a door until one day ...1993... January 27th... I was at Mare Island Naval Shipyard. I was in the Navy. I was walking down the backside of the golf course. My then wife and children were in Virginia Beach, refused to go to the West Coast. The Navy said, "You're on the West Coast. There's no way you're getting back to the East Coast without foregoing shore duty and going to another ship." My rating and my rank meant When I went to a ship, I was going to be on a ship for 5 years. And then 2 years on shore duty. And I was walking down this road, and I'm talking to God, and I'm just talking out loud. And I said, I've always known you're real, but I don't know how to live for you. I have made a mess of my life, but if you can fix it, it's yours. And I turned around, and it's like God was right there with open arms and wrapped his arms round about me. And that's changed my life. I praise God I'm not the person I used to be. I know I'm nowhere near perfect. But I continue to walk forward, seeking his face, knowing God has a plan and purpose. And if he can do that in my life, he can do that in anybody's life. I have no clue why I said what I just said. I know it's all true. I know I was there. But let me tell you, even if you've got a prodigal in your life that has walked away, God is not finished. There was 16 years I didn't darken a church door, and God drew me back by his Spirit and welcomed me when I came in. I have a brother that went 35 years, was never sober unless he was in jail, who is now a preacher in Florida. God can draw anybody back. The same brother that was with me in the sugarcane field. God can touch and change anybody's life. You see that picture on the, or not the picture, but really the quote on the front of the bulletin. Once you've experienced God for yourself, no one will ever, or no one will be able to change your mind about him. I know God is real. I know God saves. I know God touches hearts and changes lives. There is no doubt in my mind. I've seen it happen. It's happened in my life. Excuse me. Praise God. In the scripture, we're going to start in Hebrews. Those of you that have never heard me speak, I'd much rather tell you what the Bible says than tell you what Andrew thinks. Because there's a verse in Ecclesiastes that says, keep your feet when you enter into the house of God, and be more ready to listen than to give the sacrifices of fools. For God is in heaven and you're on the earth, therefore let your words be few. I want to know what God's word says. Not what man's understanding is, even mine. I want to know what God's word says. God's word tells me that faith is powerful. That trusting in him is important. Hebrews 11, if you read your Bible at all, you're very familiar with this passage. If you don't read your Bible at all, I suggest you do. Because how else can you know about the things of the Lord without reading and understanding? It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. God spoke it into existence. Have a whole big school of thought out there that everything just happened. Just happened, you know, it came together that, you know, somehow just the right combination of this chemical and that chemical and whatever created life, and life evolved. Yet they can't ever seem to get back to, well, where did the stuff come from in the first place? They say, well, it's the Big Bang Theory. Yep, God said it, and bang, it happened. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By faith, we understand that God is the one who created the heavens and the earth, created me, created you, and knows everything about us, and guides and directs our steps. He's at work in our lives. God is the one who is paying that close attention. It says in Malachi that those who meditated on the Lord and talked one with another, God wrote it in the book. God is paying so much attention to what's going on in your life. When you think about him, he's writing it down. He's paying that close attention in our lives. So sometimes we'll be going along. In fact, when it came time for me to take over this church, I told you when I did it. Pastor Howard had came to me one day, early in December, and he said the people won't come back as long as I'm here. That church had a congregation of about 50 under when the time he was a pastor, and people got offended, and people always do. This and that, and the next thing happened, and before you know it, we were down to 5. And he said, the people won't come back as long as I'm here. You either take over the church, or we're closing the doors. And Debbie and I were riding around over New York, listening to WCHP, the AM country, the AM Christian station over there. And we hear a minister saying, you know what God called you to do? Stop goofing off and do it. Praise God. So the next day, we're also riding around. And there's another minister, and another message, completely different topic. Guess what he says? You know what God called you to do? Stop goofing off and do it. Pre-recorded messages, by the way, that just happened to play as we're driving around. Because God is the one who directs our steps. We've seen the hand of the Lord working in our lives. I definitely have. I pray that you have as well, that your eyes have been opened to recognize that God is working. And as He's working, He has not brought you this far to leave you right here. He has a plan and purpose for us. And if we rest on that, if we have a sure faith and understanding that God is the one directing our steps, that God is paying a close attention to what goes on in our lives, that no matter what comes into my life, it comes through the sovereign hand of an almighty God who loves me, who has my good in mind, who has a perfect plan for me and a perfect plan for you. Titus 1. Paul writing to Titus, Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's select and the acknowledgement of the truth which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began, but has in due time manifested His word through preaching, which was committed to me according to the commandment of God our Savior. God cannot lie. If God has made a promise in His word to you, God cannot lie. God doesn't change His mind. The giftings and callings of God, Scripture tells us, are without repentance. God does not change His mind about what He wants us to do or what plan and purpose He has for your life. Granted, sometimes we'll be like the children of Israel and walk around that wilderness one more time before we begin to get obedient and do what He's called us to do. But God is at work. He's promised these things before time began. You know, looking through Scripture, you find in Genesis 3 a promise of a coming Savior. Scripture says Jesus was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. God's plan was laid out before He ever said light. Before He ever formed man in His image after His likeness, before He ever breathed life in him, the plan was already in place. The God who sees the end from the beginning knows everything about you. And He's still at work. We had a number of years ago, we had a visitor in here. She was the sister of a lady that was attending at the time. And we got to talking as we're going through, well, I ramble, so you'll notice that. As we began talking, I got to talking about when I had been in the Ukraine as a missionary, and I was handing out Bibles, and in the Ukraine they were ripping the Bibles in half so that they could share them. And I said, how would you like to be the person that got the genealogies? But every word of God is true, and every word of God is important. And the genealogies, I came to the realization that the genealogies are in there to tell us God knows where we came from. And He knows what's coming after. After service, that lady went home. She called her sister. She said, you know, just this morning I was reading in my Bible, and I came across the genealogies. And I said, God, why is this even in here? And your pastor answered the question that I asked the Lord that morning. God knows where we are and what's going on. This should boost our faith and bolster us and strengthen us, knowing that we are not alone. No matter what comes toward us, no matter what we are facing, no matter what our situation is, I trust in the hand of an almighty God that loves me. I trust in the hand of an almighty God who has a plan and purpose for my life. I trust that He knows my steps, He directs me, and He is at work, and He does it in all of us. Colossians 2, beginning with verse 1. Paul, talking to the church at Colossae, says, "For I want you to know what great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea. For as many as who have not yet or not seen my face in the flesh, but their heart, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love and attaining all the riches of the full assurance of understanding and knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Paul says, I want you to know and understand the grace and mercy and love of God. That you know more and more and more about Him, that you study. And that you be encouraged knowing that He has you in the palm of His hands. Dropping down to verse 6 in the same book, or same chapter, says, "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving." And he says, "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy or empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him who is the head of all principality and power." We are complete in Christ, and Paul warns the church at Colossae and warns all of us not to get distracted, not to get overwhelmed by somebody that talks a good talk, has what seems to be a good idea, but would lead us away from the Lord. Don't let anyone cheat you through philosophy or empty deceit according to the tradition of men. But know who God is. Know who Christ is in our own lives. Have that sure faith. We sang Blessed Assurance. We said standing on the promises. What's one? And leaning on the everlasting arms. Recognizing that as we trust in the Lord, He continues to guide us and continues to lead us. In 2 Peter 1, Peter says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue." Stop right there for just a minute. We recognize that this Bible is written to each of us. It's written, you know, Paul was writing to the church at Colossae. Paul is writing to Titus. Peter is writing to the church in general. But he's writing to all of us. And Peter says, God has given His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. We have everything we need to live a godly life. How many of us are doing it? Yeah, my hand's not going up either. We try. We have everything we need. He is at work in us. Praise God. Through the knowledge of Him who called us by a glory and virtue, by which we have also been given the exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. He has given us the tools that we need, and He has called us to holiness. He has called us to righteousness. He has called us to life. He has equipped us, given us everything we need. Farther on in this chapter, one of the first messages I remember preaching down in Decatur, Georgia. I was the associate pastor. I was a pastor on staff, or I was an associate pastor of a small black church in Decatur, Georgia. And I remember preaching on that passage where it talks about add to your faith virtue and to virtue knowledge. This is right after this in 2 Peter 1, telling us how if these things be in us and abound, they will make it so we never fall. Scripture tells us how to walk holy, how to walk righteous, how to walk godly. We just have to apply it to our lives. He has given us everything we need. Praise God. as we have faith in the Lord, as we trust that He has already equipped us, He is already at work in us, He is already directing our steps. It says in 1 Corinthians, as it's the same passage where they're talking about one honors a certain day and another one doesn't, one eats meat and another one doesn't. It says, "Who are you that judges another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand because God is able to make him to stand." And we always look at that as pointing out somebody else, but I look at that as, praise God, God is the one that works in me to make me able to stand. God is the one who works in me to make me more like Jesus. God is the one who is working in me to sometimes turn up the heat and pressure to bring out that ugliness, that dross, so I can be refined as silver and gold is refined. We all go through it. Praise God that God is at work and hasn't. He never slumbers or sleeps. He never gives up on us. Sometimes He feels like He puts us on a shelf for a little while to let us age. But He is always at work. We may not see what God is doing in our lives, but God has not forgotten about us. And He is still drawing us more and more to Himself. Hebrews 10, beginning with verse 19, says, "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He consecrated for us through the veil, that is His flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, a full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." Stop right there. We are called in the book of Hebrews to approach the throne of grace. Continually seeking His face, continually drawing near. Verse 23, "Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful." Praise God, we can stop right there too for a moment. God is faithful. The God who calls us, the God who is working in us, is faithful. We can trust Him. We can rely upon Him. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He hasn't passed us by. He hasn't left us. He hasn't deserted us. He hasn't forgotten about us. Verse 24, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly together of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." As we look at the things going on around us, recognizing that the Bible tells us in the latter days perilous times will come. We see perilous times. We see earthquakes in diverse places. We see wars and rumors of wars. We see famine and pestilence. We see all these things going on that the Bible tells us was going on. Does that mean Jesus is coming back this afternoon? He might. I don't know. But what I do know is I'm seeing things happen that the Bible told me were coming to pass. And we're told to encourage one another even more as we see these things approaching. As we see these things going on around us, to reach out and encourage and lift one another up. Knowing that God is the one directing us. God is the one guiding us. The God who saw the end from the beginning told us these things were going to happen. As we see the things happening today in science, like with the microchip with the RFID that can be used for, there's a guy in Oregon, he has his house locks keyed to that. He can open doors of his house through the RFID chip in his hand. And he's getting married. This was in the news probably 2 years ago. Actually, it's on the evening news and got shared around. He was getting married, and his wife was going to have to get one of those chips embedded too, or she couldn't get in the house. But John said in the book of Revelations, they talked about a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, and they won't be able to buy, sell, or trade except those that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Now, if John saw 2,000 years ago that there was something coming that was going to be even in your right hand or in your forehead, which basically means your whole head, not just up here, that all of these things were taking place, and the technology is catching up with prophecy. We're seeing things happen. So we're told here in Hebrews that as we see the day approaching, encourage one another and lift one another up, knowing that the God who saw the end from the beginning has declared this thing, and it's coming to pass, and it should strengthen our faith. It should make us even more and more confident that God knows what He's talking about, and we can rely upon Him. No matter what we're facing, no matter what's coming out, the God who saw the end from the beginning has directing us and guiding us and warning us ahead of time, and tells us how to walk, how to live in the midst of it. Final passage of Scripture, Romans 8, beginning with verse 31. I don't know about you, I find this one real encouraging. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Is God for you? Hasn't He declared it in His Word and shown us time and time again that He is for us? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? If any of us lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Who gives us our daily bread, who directs our steps, who leads us and guides us? Will He not with Him freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is He then that condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Or shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or the sword? Stop right there. Notice Scripture says we won't ever face any of these things. What it says is they won't separate us from the love of God. We can look back over history and see our brothers and sisters in history that were martyred. See things that have happened to them. See people that have lost, not just in history. You can go to Voice of the Martyrs and take a look at some of the things that are going on in the world around us. Our brothers and sisters in other countries facing horrible circumstances. Yet, they are not separated from the love of Christ. God is still at work in them. Verse 36, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. One day, provided the Lord doesn't come and take us out first, one day this body's going to lay down and not get up again. One day I will draw my last breath. Whatever day that happens to be, I don't know. But what I do know is, as I'm serving God, God will watch over and keep me and protect me and direct me until such time as He's ready to take me home. That it doesn't matter what happens to the mortal body. It doesn't matter what's going on around me. What matters is I'll spend eternity in heaven with Him because He's the one who promised. Not because I'm so good. But because He is the one who redeemed my life from destruction. I have that sure faith and understanding that no matter what comes, no matter what I face, my God loves me. And my God is directing my steps and my God leads me. Verse 38, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Praise God. That sure faith of knowing that God loves me and nothing can separate me from the love of God. Sure faith of knowing that God has a plan and purpose for my life. He sees the end from the beginning and is directing my steps and walking me through it. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delights in His ways. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with His mighty hand. God is the one who picks us up. God is the one who directs our steps, and He is the one who loves us and will bring us home to Himself. That's sure faith. That's knowing that no matter what we face, I know what the end is. and the end is glorious. Praise God. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Knowing, Father, that you are at work, that you direct our steps, that you have laid out these promises, that you have made it clear, that you have shown your hand in our lives, and that you draw us by your Spirit, that you know the end from the beginning and are directing our steps, that all of our days are in your hand. All of our days are written in your book, already declared from the end. You who know the end from the beginning. And we thank you, Father, that as we trust in you, as we walk in you, as we follow you, Lord, that you are glorified in our hearts and in our lives. You make us the witnesses you've called us to be. You make us the trophies of your grace that you've called us to be. You make us the ambassadors of heaven that you've called us to be. You make us the written epistles that men may see, men and women may see, examining our lives to recognize how great and wondrous God is, that he takes even the foolish things of this earth to confound the wise. That you are still at work. And Father, we give praise. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Thanks for listening. For more information, visit glbcvt.org.